Osho, Returning to the Source, Talks on Zen, given at the Osho Commune International, Pune, India. Discourse number 2.
Bhagwan, Joshu was a master who started to study Zen when he was 60. When he was 80, he found enlightenment. They say he taught for 40 years after his enlightenment. Once a student asked old Joshu, "You teach that we should empty our minds. I have nothing on my mind. Now what should I do?" "Throw it out," said Joshu. "But I have nothing. How can I throw it out?" Joshu said, "If you can't throw it out, carry it out, drive it out, empty it out, but don't stand there in front of me with nothing on your mind."
What is Joshua's single note? This is the single note. Emptiness. And this is the lotus flower Buddha transmitted to Mahakashyap. And this is all that all the Buddhas have been teaching through all the ages. Be empty. The ego wants to be all. The all happens, but it happens through emptiness. And there lies the difficulty, the impossibility of it. You can become perfect, but if perfection is the idol, then you will miss it. You can become perfect through being totally empty. That seems inconceivable for the mind, because the mind says to be perfect, one has to be perfect. To be perfect, one has to do much effort to be perfect. To be perfect, one has to create an ideal in the future, and one has to make effort to reach to that goal. That goal happens. Perfection comes to man. Man need not go there. The goal comes to you. Nobody has ever gone to the goal. It has always been the otherwise. The goal comes to you when you are empty. And to be empty is just the opposite. Just the opposite of all the efforts towards perfection. Because perfection means you would like to be God Himself. Perfection means you would like yourself eternally, infinitely, spread all over. Emptiness is just the opposite. You have to destroy yourself utterly. Not a trace even should be left behind. When your house is empty, the guest comes. When you are no more, the goal has been attained. So don't make perfection your goal. The goal happens indirectly. You be empty. And you have created the situation for it to come. because nature abhors emptiness. Nothing can remain empty. If you empty yourself completely, you will be filled by the unknown. Suddenly, from all the directions, the divine rushes towards you. You have created the situation. It has to be filled. When you are not, God is. So remember, there cannot be any meeting between you and the God. There has never been, and there will never be. When you are not, God is. When you are, God is not. The both cannot be together. Here you disappear, and suddenly the total, the perfect, the whole appears. It has always been there. But you were so much filled by yourself, there was no space for it to come in. It was all around. But you were not empty. You are just like a house without doors. Just walls and walls and layers of walls. And remember, a house is in fact not walls but the doors. Lao Tzu says, what is a door? A door is nothing, it is an emptiness. And from the door you enter. The wall is something. The door is nothing. And have you observed that the house is not the walls but the emptiness within? The very word room means emptiness, space. You don't live in the walls. You live in the space, in the emptiness. All that exists, exists in emptiness. All that lives, lives in emptiness. You are not your body. Within your body, just like within your house, space exists. That space is you. Your body is just the walls. Think of a person who has no eyes, no ears, no nose, no windows, no doors in the body. He will be dead. Eyes and ears and nose and mouth, they are the doors, they are emptinesses. And through that emptiness, existence enters in you. And the outer and the inner meet. Because the outer space and the inner space are not two things. They are one. And the division is not a real division. It is just like you can go to the river and you can fill a earthen pot with the water. When the water is moving in the earthen pot, the river outside and the water inside the pot are the same. Only an earthen wall exists. Even that earthen wall is porous. Water is continuously flowing out and in. Your body is also porous. Existence is continuously flowing in and out. What is your breathing? It is existence coming in and going out. And scientists say, millions of holes in the skin continuously breathe in and out. You are porous. If your whole body is painted thickly and only the nose is allowed to remain open. You can go on breathing, but within 3 hours you will be dead, because the whole body breathes. It is porous. Existence continuously renews you. And inside, who are you? Inside is an emptiness. When one realizes this emptiness, the ego simply disappears. It is a myth. It is a dream. It is a fallacy. Because you have never looked within, you have created a false ego. There is a necessity, because no man can live without a center. And you don't know your own center. So the mind creates a false center. That false center is the ego. When you move in and look for the ego, you will never find it there. The deeper you go, the more you will laugh, because the ego is not there, you are not there. Just sometimes close the eyes and look for the ego, where you are. Who are you? An emptiness surrounds you from everywhere. Nobody is there inside. And this moment is the most beautiful and ecstatic moment possible, when you feel that there is no ego. When there is no ego, you are empty. And when you are empty, the divine rushes towards you. You have created the situation. This is the single note of Kakua. And this is the single note of me also. This story is very beautiful. Try to understand a single word of it. Josu was a master who started to study Zen when he was 60. Remember, your age is not relevant. You may be a child, or you may be very, very old, or you may be young. You may be healthy, or you may be ill. It makes no difference, because the basic thing is to be empty within. It has nothing to do with your walls, young or old. A child can attain enlightenment. A man just on the verge of death can attain enlightenment, because enlightenment is not concerned with your body. It is concerned with something which is absolutely bodiless. It is concerned with the within, which has no age. It is non-temporal. Time is not at all a problem. You may not have observed, because you live such an unconscious life. And observation needs consciousness, alertness, awareness. If you look within, can you feel the age? How much old you are? If you close the eyes and look within, the emptiness within seems to be ageless, without age. Are you a child? Are you young? Are you old? The inner space seems to be non-temporal. It is. That's why you become old, through others' eyes. You become old because of the mirror. If mirrors disappear and nobody talks about your age, and there is no calendar and no time measurement, you will remain young longer. In the ancient days, people lived younger for longer and longer days. It is said they lived for 100 years. sometimes even 300, 400, 500 years. Now these things look like stories, myths, fictions. They are not fictions. They must have lived because they had no time measurement. No mirrors existed. Nobody talked about age. Nobody knew when he is born. Nobody knew the birthday. They couldn't count beyond 10 fingers. And nobody ever asked how old you are. People lived. They simply lived, not knowing how old they are. They lived very, very long. It has happened many times. Just a few days before, I was reading about a man, a Dutch. He lived 165 years, just a few years back. And he was working when he was 165, doing everything normally. He lived in a very, very distant village. Then some newspaper got the news. Then his name was published, his picture. And then people started to come to see him. And then doctors became concerned. They also came to study him. They killed him within 2 years. Because everybody coming and asking, how old you are? Suddenly, for the first time, that poor old man became aware that he is 165, which is not believable. He has never bothered. Nobody has ever asked. He has simply lived, not conscious of the time. When you are conscious of the time, you are in the grip of death. When you are not conscious of the time, simply death cannot enter. It enters through time. Death is time, and life is eternal, timeless. You are life, not death. What the doctors did to that poor old man, they suggested him, now you don't work. You rest. Because if you rest, you can live even more. And you may complete 2 centuries. And that will be a phenomenon for the medical science. So they helped him to rest. They put him on the bed. And they started giving him injections and vitamins. He was dead within 2 years. He became so conscious and worried. If you are too much concerned with the body, you become the body. If you go on looking in the mirror, you become the body. That's why women age faster than men. The mirrors. And the miracle is, basically they live longer than men, but they age faster. Average 4 years longer than men. All over the world. But they age faster. Their beauty, their youngness loses fast. The mirror kills them. Continuously meditating on the body. Meditate on the inner being, not on the body. Find out a mirror which reflects you, not the body. That mirror is meditation, which reflects you. The more you meditate, the more ageless you become. Kakua, this Josu, was a master who started to study Zen when he was 60. So it is never too late. Don't be worried. Whenever you come, it's okay. It is never too late. It is always early. So don't think many people come to me and they say, now we are very old. and the mind is so cunning. Young people come to me and they say, "No, how can we meditate? We are too young." And old people come and they say, "How we can meditate? We are too old." And people come to me and they said, "Don't initiate children. They are just children. Don't give them sannyas. Don't initiate them." So to whom I am to initiate? Dead men? Nobody is left. Few are children, few are young, few are old. Mind is cunning. When you are a child, you say you are a child. When you are young, you say you are young. You have to live the life a little more. By the time you are old, you feel exhausted, energy gone, tired. You say, "Now, what can I do? Nothing is left. I can simply wait helplessly for death." Never in the history of man was so helpless before death as he is now. And with such tremendous advancement in medical science, never before man was so helpless before death. Never man worried about death before as much as he worries now. Why such a helplessness? Because you are not in contact with the eternal. Your roots are not in the eternal. You have lived a temporal life, and death is the end of time. Not you. Remember, death ends time, not you. And if you have lived in time, with time, only with temporal goals, then death is a problem. But if you have lived deeper within you, in the remoter mountains where Kakua moved, inside where nobody can visit you, totally alone, then death is not a problem, because you know the deathless. It is hidden there. On the surface is time, at the center is eternity. And remember, eternity is not a long, long time. No, eternity is not time at all. Eternity means no time. At the age of 60, Josu started. You can start any time. And this has been always my feeling, that Josu lived so long. He lived 120. He must have lived 120 years, because at the 60, he started. And when you start meditating, you become so fresh and young. You can live simply long without any effort. A person who is ready to learn always becomes a child. Josu became a child at the age of 60 again. You cannot start at 60 because you know already too much. You cannot learn. You cannot become a disciple. You are so much knowledgeable. You are already wise. You have known so much, experienced so much, collected such rubbish. You are a junkyard, but you think you are very, very experienced. What is your experience? What have you known exactly? Nothing. I see your hands are empty. I see your being is just poor. You have not attained any inner experience which gives you richness, which gives you significance. But just by being old, you have passed through many things, of course. traveled on many, many paths, frustrated, hopeless, helpless, you stand before death, trembling, just waiting, not knowing what to do. In the West particularly, the old man has become such a helpless phenomena. Just waiting for death, nothing to do. You cannot think. In the past, only few people had to wait for death, those who were sentenced to die. They had to wait in the prisons for a few days. Just waiting, it was terrible again, but now everybody. Retired, you are sentenced to death. Nothing else to do. Just waiting, any moment death will come. And the agony is increased by the medical science still more, because they go on prolonging you. They go on giving you injections and vitamins. For what? To wait still more, a little longer? They go on pushing you back in the queue. But you are in the queue. What difference does it make when one has lost everything and just waiting, waiting to die? Never before, that's why I say, man was so helpless before death. In the East, when death started approaching, when death knocked for the first time on the door, people became very, very happy. Death was a door. It was not the end. Something new was going to start. And it was not the enemy. It was God coming in the garb of death. Because they had come to know they are not the bodies, so they are not going to die. The bodies will be left behind and they will go on an eternal journey. Death was not an end. Death was a meeting, meeting with the unknown. Death was a long, long waited moment. Desired, dreamed, hoped. It was the last desire to leave the body and to meet the divine, to merge in it so totally that not even a trace is left behind of you. The body looked like a barrier. So when it was dropped, you were completely free. Death was freedom and culmination of life. It was not just the end. If death is just the end and you simply finish, life cannot be meaningful. How life can be meaningful when it just ends? Then the whole life becomes gloomy. The shadow of death makes it sad. Whatsoever you do is meaningless because you are going to end. Whatsoever you create is meaningless because you are going to end. Whatsoever you do is just fooling yourself because you are going to end. If death is a new beginning, if death is a rebirth, if death is a meeting with the divine, then life has a significance. Then whatsoever you do is meaningful. Then you are something significant. And the existence hopes many, many things through you. At the age of 60, Josuvas again beginning a new childhood. He started learning Zen. Remember, if you can learn to the very end, you will never become old. A man who can learn is never old. A man who cannot learn anymore is already old. A man who cannot learn anymore is already dead. Now there is no purpose for him to be here. Life is a school, a discipline. It is a learning process. If you have stopped learning, you are already dead. Sufis say that ordinarily people die at 30 and are buried at 60. When you stop learning, you are dead. Josue started at the age of 60. And when he was 80, he found enlightenment. Remember, enlightenment is not a game. Everything else is a game. Except enlightenment. It is not a game. You have to be patient about it. And Joseph must have been a man of infinite patience. Beginning at the age of 60, it is difficult to wait. One thinks of death. One thinks if death comes before enlightenment, then one must be in a hurry. But Joseph was not in a hurry. Remember, the more you are in a hurry, the least is the possibility for you to reach. The more you are patient, the more is the possibility. I'll tell you one small Hindu anecdote. It happened. A messenger was going to God, and he passed one very ancient ascetic, an old man, very old, just sitting under a tree. Meditating. He looked at the messenger and said, "Wait. Are you going to God? Then just ask about me. It is already too long. I have been doing thousands of efforts. And it is already now 3 lives I have been doing them. So just ask how much more I have to wait." When you ask how much more I have to wait, you are not patient. You are in a hurry. And with God, nothing is possible in a hurry. Because He is not in a hurry. He has no time problem. He is eternity. The messenger said, "Yes, I will ask." And just jokingly, he asked another young man who was dancing under another tree and singing praises of God. He asked, "Are you also interested to know how much it will take for you to become enlightened?" The young man didn't bother. He even won't stop. He continued his dance. This messenger came back. He told to the old man that I asked, and God said 3 lives more. The old man threw his rosary and said, "Enough is enough. Is this justice? I have been doing I have been wasting my life continuously for three lives. And three lives more, this is too much. The messenger went to the other tree where the young man was still dancing, ecstatic. He said, even if you had not asked, I asked. And God said, that young man, it is very, very long when he will attain enlightenment. The same number of lives as are the leaves on the tree under which he is dancing. Hearing this, the young man became more ecstatic, mad, and he started faster and faster dancing, and he said, then it is not too long, because the whole earth, how many trees and how many leaves? And this tree, only this tree and these leaves, then it is not too long, I have already achieved. And it is said, in that very instant, that a young man became enlightened. Infinite patience can bring it this very moment. Because infinite patience changes your total being. When you have infinite patience, you have no tension inside. Because all tensions are for the future. All tensions are when, how much more time, whether I will achieve or not, am I going to miss? All tensions are concerned because you are not patient. If you are patient, tensions cannot exist within you. Patience is the only relaxation. You cannot relax with tensions inside the mind. A goal-oriented mind cannot relax. The tomorrow is too heavy. And he is so much worried about it. Jesus said to his disciples, passing from a garden, he said, look at the lilies. They don't worry about the future. That's why they are so beautiful. Even Solomon, in his glory, was not so beautiful. Look at these lilies. They are so beautiful, so graceful, because they don't worry about the tomorrow, what is going to happen. They are not worried at all. They are simply here and now. 20 years is too much when a man is 60, because I have come across young men who come to me and they say, 3 days have passed. I have been meditating for 3 days and yet nothing has happened. How many lives these people will have to wait? You calculate. How many trees and how many leaves? Even the whole earth and all the trees on this earth and all the leaves, no, that number won't do. 3 days, they say. I have come across one woman, and not ordinary woman, a professor in a university. She just meditated once and she came and told me, I have not realized God yet. One meditation. How much you oblige God just by sitting foolishly for 40 minutes. And you will be sitting foolishly because a fool cannot sit otherwise. You may look like a Buddha, but that is just on the surface. Inside, the fool travels chatters. Inside you are a monkey. You can control the body, but the inside monkey goes on jumping from one branch to another and continuously chattering. That's why I always feel Darwin must be right. I don't know whether scientifically he is right or not, but spiritually, the more I observe you, the more I am convinced he must be right. Man must have come out of monkeys, because deep inside he still remains a monkey. Only the surface has changed. It is just the body that is a little different, but the mind is the same. And just by sitting once, you start hoping for the infinite. Josu at the age of 60 could wait for 20 years, a rare man. At the age of 80 he found enlightenment, and they say he taught for 40 years after his enlightenment. Not in a hurry. He waited for 20 years. It is said he never asked his master when it will happen. It is said that even the master was a little worried about, because this man is so old. But Josu never. He never asked his master when. He simply waited and meditated and waited and meditated. He attained. When he attained, the master said, even I was worried a little, because this man is so old. And after his attainment for 40 years, he continued teaching. But the note is one, the same as Kakua's. The note is emptiness. He was teaching for 40 years how to be empty. And this is the whole teaching of all the religions. If something is else taught to you, know well, it is not religion. Then something else, it may be, but not religion. Religion is concerned to make you empty, so that the God can enter in you, to create a space within you. Very shattering. You would like to be somebody, not nobody. How subtly you try to be somebody. How subtle techniques you employ to be somebody. Somebody in this world or somebody in that world, but somebody. On the last night, when Jesus was to depart, and it was almost destined that tomorrow he will be killed, the disciples were asking him, in the kingdom of God, you will be sitting just by the right side of God, where we all will be sitting. Where? They are not worried about Jesus. They are not worried about his death tomorrow. They are not worried about it. They are worried about their positions. 12 disciples, in what hierarchy? Jesus will be sitting, of course, that much they can tolerate, by the right side of God. But then who will be next to him? And then who? Then who? Politics follows you to the very end. This mind is political, not religious. Politics is concerned who you are in the hierarchy. Religion is not concerned, who are you? Religion has no hierarchy. Because in religion, only one enters who is nobody. Then how hierarchy can exist? Only one enters who has left himself behind. There is an old poem. A small sect in Bengal has existed, known as Bowls. Bowls means madman. The word Bowl means mad. One of the most beautiful small sect. They are really mad, mad after God. They have a small story and they sing in their songs about it, the story. They say, a poor man, a very deep ascetic, who renounced everything, reached at the gate of heaven. He had nothing with him, naked. A naked fakir he has remained for many lives. He has not touched gold for many lives. He has not accumulated anything for many lives. He was a perfect ascetic. He knocked at the door of heaven. The door was opened. The man who opened the door looked this ascetic and told him, you can enter only when you have left all your possessions behind. He was naked with no possessions. The naked fakir started laughing. He said, are you a fool? I have got nothing. Can't you see? Are you blind? I am completely naked without any possessions. The man started laughing. He said, yes, that I can see. But I can see deeper also. Inside you are carrying yourself, and that is the only possession which is the barrier. We are not concerned about what clothes you are wearing or no clothes. That's not the point. Whether you are carrying yourself, that is the only thing. You have to put it out, then you can enter. The ascetic became very angry. He was in a rage. He said, I am a great ascetic. And I have thousands of followers on the earth. Said the man, the doorkeeper, that precisely that is the problem, that you have thousands of followers and you are a great ascetic. Throw this out, otherwise I will be forced to close this door. And he had to close that door. The ascetic has to come back. Remember, only you are the barrier, that's why emptiness is the door. Once a student asked old Josu, you teach that we should empty our minds. I have nothing on my mind now, what should I do? Listen with attention, because this moment is bound to come someday or other to you also. A student asks Josu, you teach that we should empty our minds. I have nothing on my mind. Now, what should I do? Remember well, then when real emptiness happens, this question cannot arise. That what I should do now, Because in a real emptiness there is no I. You become a vehicle, you become a flute, and the God goes on singing, or not singing, that is up to him now. If he wants to do something, he will do through you. If he doesn't want, he will not do through you. But you are no more the chooser. You are no more the decision maker. You are no more the doer. That is what emptiness means, that the doer has disappeared. Now you are only a medium. If he chooses, that is his problem. That is not for you to ask and inquire. Joshua used to say that when he feels hungry within me, I eat. When he feels sleepy within me, I go to sleep. I don't do anything now. Sometimes he sleeps a little longer than who am I to wake him up by an alarm clock. Sometimes he doesn't feel like eating, then who am I to force him to eat? Then the fast happens. Sometimes he wants to go for a walk in the hills, then I have to follow. Now he is the doer. This is the transformation. You are the doer, then you are not empty. When he is the doer, the total. When existence is the doer, and you are just a wave on the ocean, and the ocean waves, not you. You simply enjoy whatsoever happens. You simply watch. And when the doer disappears within you, the watcher comes in. He is the doer, and you are just a watcher, a witness. Right now, just opposite is the case. You are the doer and he is the witness. He is the watcher and you are the doer. This is the wrong situation. Everything is upside down. You should be the witness and he should be the doer. When you are a witness, how can you accumulate ego? A witness is simply a witness. He cannot say, I. When you are a witness, I disappears. You simply look. And when you have a simple look, there is no one inside, just the look exists. This student came to Joshua and said, you teach that we should empty our minds. The very question, the very wording of it is absolutely wrong. Joshua is not teaching that you should, because if you should, you can never be empty. It is not a should. It is not something to be done. If you do, how the doer will disappear? Only in your non-doing it can disappear. Only when you are effortless it can go. If you do something, it can never go. So there is no should. And this is the difference between morality and religion. Morality exists around the should. This should be done. That should not be done. But the emphasis is on doing. And that is the difference. Religion is not concerned with should at all. Religion says should, should not is not the point. Because doing is not the point. You should be a watcher. You simply watch. Don't choose. And when you watch, he chooses. And when he chooses, there is no repentance. When he chooses, there is no looking backwards. When he chooses, then there is no fault. When he chooses, then everything is always okay. It is always absolutely okay. Then you are never in error. It is human to err. It is divine not to err. Leave everything to the total. You may call it God. Leave it to the total, and you simply become a shadow. And whatsoever He wills, let Him will. Don't bring yourself in. You watch. So there is no question of should. This student asks, you teach that we should empty our minds. This is how, when a master says something, it is misunderstood. Josu never taught that you should do this or that. But our mind always transforms everything into the terms of action. Action is our language. I say to people, be meditative. And what they hear that I teach you should meditate. There is a vast difference. When I say be meditative, I am not saying you should meditate. Because meditation is not an act. You cannot do it. You can be in it. You cannot do it. It is a state, not an act. I say be love. And what you hear that I teach you should love. You have changed the whole thing. Now, whatsoever you will be doing, I am not responsible for it. Because you have not heard at all what was said. Love is not an act. It is a state of being. You can be loving. You can be love. But you cannot do it. How can you do it? Have you ever observed? How can you do love? How can you force? Of course you can act. That's why there are so many actors who are acting love and so many actors who are acting meditation. You have missed the point. It is a state of being. But you will again ask, then what is to be done? If it is a state of being, then what is to be done? Then what should we do? You again go on missing. No, just try to understand. Just try to understand, and the very understanding becomes meditation. Just try to understand the nature of the mind. That it goes right and left, past and future, moves from one thought to another. It is a monkey. Just try to understand. Just try to watch what mind is. And just in watching what mind is, suddenly one day you will feel something has clicked. Something has changed gear. You are no more the same. Something unknown has entered in you. There is no mind. Meditation has come in. Just trying to understand. In anger, try to understand what is happening. In hate, in love, in relationship, try to understand what is happening. When you feel sad, try to understand what is happening. And you will be simply wonderstruck. If you try to understand what is happening in anger, you will feel immediately a change of quality. Something is already changing through your watching. The anger is no more the same. The violence of it has disappeared. It is still a cloud hanging around, but no aggression in it. Go on watching, and you will feel even that cloud is disappearing. Rays of the sun are entering. Watching anger, anger disappears. Watching hate, hate disappears. If you can watch anything, immediately a new dimension has penetrated into it. The watcher has come in, and watcher is the greatest phenomenon in the world. God comes through your watching, not through your actions. What you should do or should not is not the way. Just watch, be alert. And sometimes if you lose alertness, then be alert of this non-alertness. Don't create a problem. Sometimes you will miss. Sometimes you will forget completely that you were to be watchful. So be watchful of this non-alertness. It's okay. You missed the point. You missed. Don't create a problem about it. Again, watch it. You watch anger. Sometimes you forget. You become angry. Then you remember, watch again. Don't create a problem that I missed the point. I forgot again. I got identified with the anger. Don't feel miserable. And don't pity yourself. And don't repent. When you have forgotten, you have forgotten. Now be watchful about this forgetfulness. And remember. Because the only point is to remember whatsoever is happening. Inattentiveness is happening. Watch it. Simply go on watching. And soon you will understand a new dimension within you. And that dimension comes through watching. Problems start disappearing. Nobody can control anger. Through controlling, you become miserable. This whole sad lot of humanity is because of controlling. Nobody can control. If you control, the poison enters into every fiber of your being. Just watch. And observation becomes transformation. And when you observe, it is not a question of should or should not. This disciple simply missed. He asks, you teach that we should empty our minds. Nobody has ever taught that. Everybody who knows has taught that if you watch, the mind will empty itself. If you watch, mind becomes empty. Watching is emptiness, is the door from which emptiness enters in you. I have nothing on my mind, said the disciple. Now what should I do? Remember, the emptiness that Buddha gave to Mahakashyap, the emptiness that Kakua sang through the flute, and the emptiness that Joshua was teaching for 40 years. The emptiness that I am here just before you is not a negative state. It is not really emptiness. It is called emptiness because the ego doesn't exist there. It is called emptiness because the mind doesn't exist there. It is called emptiness because you don't exist there. It is because of you. You are no more there, that's why it is called emptiness. Otherwise, it is the greatest, the most positive state. It is full. overflowing with the divine, with the total, with the whole. From your side it is emptiness. Just look, a man is ill, many diseases around him. And he knows only illness. He has never known health, what health is. He has never known that well-being. He has always been ill. And he asks, what is health? How you will say to him? How you will define? You will say, it is an emptiness because all your diseases will not be there. It is an emptiness because you, with your ill feeling, ill being, will not be there. But is it emptiness? Is health emptiness? Yes, emptiness if you look through the diseases. But if you look through the standpoint of the health itself, intrinsic standpoint, then it is a whole, overflowing whole, not empty, the most positive thing in the world. So don't misunderstand absent-mindedness for emptiness. There are moments when you are absent-minded, nothing on your mind. Don't think that this is what Buddha gave to Mahakashyap. Not absent-mindedness. There are moments when you are so dull that there is nothing on your mind. We are not talking about the dullness. Idiots have nothing on their mind. That's why they are idiots. Stupid people have nothing on their mind. They simply don't have that kind of energy. They are so low. The mind doesn't function. That is not the no mind of Zen. There is a negative state. Even thoughts are not there. They are still like animals. And those moments come in your life also. Sometimes when you are shocked, somebody has died, and the shock is so much that a little gap will be there before the mind start functioning again. In that gap you are absent, not empty. Because the whole turmoil is in the unconscious, the conscious through a shock has become empty. Because mind always becomes empty if something happens which it cannot control, cannot understand, through a shock. But sooner or later it takes the control again. It starts functioning. Somebody has died, or in an accident, in a car accident, you are driving. Suddenly you feel that the accident is going to happen. The brakes are not working and you are going downhill. And a bus is coming. Or the steering wheel has gone wrong. Whatsoever you do, you cannot move anything. And you know that the accident is just going to happen, just a moment more. In that moment, the mind stops. Because this is something unknown. And the shock is so much that the mind cannot think. That's why for mad people, shock treatment is used. Electric shock can help. But whenever shock treatment is used, the person will become more stupid than he was before. Because through electric shock, the energy is being forced to become low, so he cannot think. So there are two poles of emptiness. One is negative pole, and one is positive pole. Negative pole can be achieved through shock, through electric shock. The positive pole is achieved through meditation and observation. If too many thoughts are there and you cannot meditate, you will go mad. And then there is only one way. Some type of deep shock, so your mind loses energy, settled. Then you will not be mad, but you will not become enlightened. You will remain on a low energy level. You will remain absent-minded. That's why a stupid or an imbecile or an idiot sits not doing anything, keeps his head hanging low. Because if you think, then the head is needed there, upright. If you are not thinking, there is no need for it to be upright. It hangs. Go to a madhouse and look at imbeciles or idiots. They are absent-minded. Nothing on their mind. This disciple of Josu says, I have nothing on my mind. Now, what should I do? This state can come even to you. Thinking too much about the state of no mind, you can create a state of absent-mindedness. And that is easier. And that has happened to many people in India particularly. And soon those people will be in the West also, because many Indians are teaching nonsense there. In India, you go to the ashrams and monasteries and you will feel that those people are not bad there, not bad in any way, moral, Puritans, but stupid. You look at their face and you will not see any energy, any vitality. You will not see any freshness. They are dull. Look at the Jain monks. Almost always they are dull. Their face has no energy, no radiance, no life as if. Just dull. They don't create any trouble, that's good. They don't do anything wrong, that's good. But they have dulled themselves. There are methods to dull yourself, your sensitivity. If you take less food, then sex by and by will disappear, because sex needs energy. If you take such food that only a small energy is created, which is used in day-to-day activity, then there will be no sex. But you are not beyond sex. You are simply below sex. How can, if you fast for 21 days, sex will disappear completely? Even the most beautiful woman passes, you won't be interested to look at her. Not that you are transformed. There is no energy even to look. And when the energy is not there, you cannot do bad, that's right. But this is a negative type of man. He cannot do bad. So it is better to die, because dead men never do anything bad. Dead men are always good. That's why whenever a person dies, nobody says any bad thing about him. A dead man is always good. I have heard that one friend of Mullah Nasruddin phoned him and asked, what is the matter? Are you dead? Mullah Nasruddin said, who said to you that I am dead? He said, in the town everybody is talking in such good terms about you that I thought you must be dead. It is easier to deaden your sensitivity, energy. You become dull. India has many techniques to dull yourself. When you are dull, you have nothing on the mind, but this is not enlightenment. It is simply that you have no energy for the mind to function. If energy becomes available, it will function again. So feed your monk well and see. He will be afraid. That's why Jain monks are afraid of feeding anything that can give vitality. They eat things which are non-vital. So they remain on a low energy level. But that is not brahmacharya, that is not celibacy. That is just suicide. You are killing yourself, of course, in installments. Slowly. Not taking a jump because you are not even that courageous. Otherwise, go and be finished. Why this long, gradual suicide? This disciple must be at that negative point of emptiness. He says, I have nothing on my mind, now what should I do? Josu is beautiful, he says, throw it out. Even nothingness, even emptiness is something, throw it out. Because if you think you are empty, you are not. The very thinking that you are empty is there. The idea is there. The thought is there. The mind is there. If you say, I am empty, you are not. Because never you can say you are empty. That cannot be said. Who will say it? And the one who says it inside is still there. Before it possessed other things, now it possesses emptiness. Said Josu, throw it out. You cannot deceive a master. It is impossible. Because he looks through you. You are transparent for him. He knows more about you than you can know right now. Because inside you there are deeper layers, he can penetrate them also. Said Josu, throw it out. But I have nothing, how can I throw it out? If a man is simply empty, at this moment he would have laughed. At this moment a satori would have happened. At this moment when the master says, throw it out, he would have understood the idea. What is the idea? The idea is, don't carry emptiness. Just be empty. Don't carry it as a thought. Because the very thought will fill you and you are not empty. Even a single thought is enough to fill your mind. There is no need for millions of thoughts. Even a single thought is enough. And you still possess something. You are not still in that state which Jesus calls poor in spirit. You are still rich. Now a new richness, that I am meditative, that I am empty, that now my mind has no thoughts. A new position, a new disease has entered into you. And this is the last disease. If the disciple was really empty, he would have understood. And in the very understanding, the thought is thrown. You cannot throw emptiness, of course, that Josu knows. Nobody can throw emptiness. But the idea that I am empty can be thrown. But the disciple missed completely because he was just at a low energy level. just the negative pole of emptiness he has touched, absent-mindedness. But I have nothing, how can I throw it out? The very question that how can I throw it out, and he has missed. Josu said, if you can't throw it out, carry it out, drive it out, empty it out, but don't stand there in front of me with nothing on your mind. Do something. The last barrier is the idea that I am empty, I am enlightened, I have achieved, I have reached, I have known, I have realized God. The last barrier, because with this realization the I is still clinging. Only the objects have changed, but not you. First you were clinging to riches, to your prestige, to your power, domination, your house, your car. Now they have changed. Now it is emptiness. Now it is enlightenment. Now it is God. But your hands are still not open. You are carrying something within them. Your hands are closed. The very thing emptiness means that now you have nothing, not even the one who can declare. That's why Josu says, do something, but finish with this idea. If you can't throw it out, then carry it out, drive it out, empty it out, but don't stand there in front of me with nothing on your mind. It happened. That one Sufi mystic, Bayazid Bistami, reached to his master and told him that I have realized. The master didn't look at him as if he has not heard. He didn't pay any attention to him as if he is not there. And he has brought such a great news that I have attained. And the master has not paid any attention at all, as if he is not there. He continued talking with others. Bayazid thought that he has not heard. So he told again that I have attained. I have reached the goal. The master said, keep silent. Keep silence. When there is nobody, then tell me. So he had to wait. It was too long. Because the ego is always impatient. And people went on coming and going. By the evening, just for a few moments, there was nobody. So Bayazid said, listen now, I have attained. Said the master, that you are still here when there is nobody, tell me. If you are there, how can you attain? There with you, everything in a subtle way remains the same, unless you drop completely. It cannot happen. It happened one king came to Buddha. In one hand, precious diamonds, in another hand, beautiful flowers. He thought that maybe Buddha may not like diamonds. So just as an alternative, he has brought few flowers also, rare roses. When he came to Buddha, Buddha looked at him. In his right hand he was carrying the diamonds. He was just going to put them in Buddha's feet. Buddha said, "Drop them." So he thought he was right. He will not like diamonds. So he dropped. Then he was going to put the flowers in Buddha's feet. Buddha said, "Drop them." So he was a little worried. He dropped because Buddha said so. There was nothing to do. He dropped those also. Then with empty hands, he was standing there. Buddha said, "Drop it." Then he thought, "This man is mad. Now there is nothing to drop." He looked around for some clue. Now what to drop? One disciple, Sariputra, said, "Buddha never meant for the diamonds, never for the roses. Drop the dropper. Drop yourself." But the man must have been of a rare understanding. He was not like this Joseph's disciple. Immediately, as if a light dawned upon him, he felt, he dropped himself, really dropped himself. And it is said, he attained enlightenment in that moment, with no effort. Nothing he has done to attain it, simply dropping himself. But a man of rare understanding. It depends on your understanding. If you bring your total understanding to this moment, and I say to you, "Drop it," and you drop it without thinking a single moment about it, the enlightenment can happen right now. But if you think, you have missed. If you think, you are there. And if you decide that, "Okay, I will drop," then the I will remain behind. Drop it means simply drop it. Don't decide. Don't think about it. That was Joshua is saying to him, "Throw it out. Drive it out. Carry it out. Empty it out. Do something immediately. But don't stand before me with nothing on your mind." The disciple missed. Many disciples miss. He must have looked puzzled. He must have thought, "This man has gone crazy. This old Joseph is no more in his mind. I am saying I have got nothing on my mind, and first he says, throw it. How nothing can be thrown?" The disciple must have been very logical. How to drop it? And when I say I cannot drop it, because how nothing can be dropped or thrown, this old man says, "Drive it out, empty it out, throw it out." But how nothing can be thrown? And the disciple must have left this old man. thinking that he has gone crazy or mad, absurd. He looks absurd. But if you understand, he was giving a possibility. He has opened a door. In that moment, just like the king who dropped himself before Buddha, he would have said, right, I understand. He would have dropped. He would have laughed. But he must have gone. The story says nothing about him. He must have left this man. One of the most penetrating thinkers in the West is Arthur Koestler. He came to understand Zen in the East. He went to Japan and he went back thinking that these people are absolutely absurd and mad. If you saw this story of Josutu Koestler, he will be convinced with the disciple and not with the Josu. He will say, he is so right. And what is wrong? He is asking how nothing can be thrown. How can you throw nothing? If it is something, you can throw it. But in the deeper realms of being, even nothing is something. It can be thrown. It has been thrown. And unless you throw it, you are not available for the whole, for the total to descend in you. Enough for today.